Welcome to the What's Your Weird Story podcast.
Everyone has at least one good story.
And some of us have stories that are just to the left of normal.
We're interested in the ones that push the boundaries of what we can perceive.
Stories that defy explanations.
Stories with an air of mystery.
Stories we might not share.
For fear of being thought of differently.
But don't worry. We're all friends here. So, what's your weird story? Hello, Weirdsville! How's everybody doing out there? It is I, your friend, Adam Beebe, and I'm here with also your friend, who is my friend, who is our friend, Barry Johnston, who's also always with us.
What's up?
You're listening to the What's Your Weird Story podcast. This weirdly worded intro is just how we're starting today, because things, you know, we got things, make things weird sometimes. Sometimes it just naturally happens that they're weird. I'm good at that. This is like, it's like we're on a first date or a fifth. So anyway, Barry, how are you doing? Please take over and put me out of my misery.
Good, man. I'm great. So, hey, man. So I've been watching, I've been kind of enthralled in this documentary series about Gypsy Rose. Do you know?
Gypsy Rose Turner, I believe.
Yeah. That girl that her mother sort of kept her in a wheelchair. And
I'm thinking of somebody else, but I do know what you're talking about.
Gypsy Rose Blanchard.
Yeah.
My God, what a crazy ass story.
Dude.
If anybody doesn't know what I'm talking about, there's a documentary done on her, and then there is a series that they've done called The Act that is really good. Her mother's played by, what's that girl's name? Who is that that does her in that? I can't think of her name, but it's fantastic. And it is absolutely one of the, it's heart-wrenching, and it's, you can't believe that somebody is that crazy and twisted that would do that to a child. And it's really, really, really disturbing. So anybody interested in that story, you should watch either one of those. It's fantastic.
Yeah, man, without giving too much away, for you to investigate on, that is a weird story.
Yeah.
And you guys are definitely worth checking out. I know there's some podcasts on it and stuff like that. And lots of specials and stuff. Apparently I just Googled, Gypsy Rose Turner, and apparently I made that name up.
Oh, okay.
So,
well, Blanchard fits into that. Yeah,
I got 2/3 right.
But it was one of those stories that you heard sort of like in passing on the news or whatever. But like, I never really knew much about it. And then I started watching the series and I was like, oh, my Lord, this is crazy, man. I don't know how you could do that to a kid, but it's really fascinating, you know.
It really is.
It's a look into the human psyche, really.
Yeah. Like I said, I think I listened to a podcast or two on it, and it's definitely, but I'll tell you what is totally not like that is our guest today, Amy.
Yeah. Yeah. No, she's got a whole other weird. For sure. She's fascinating. She's fascinating, man.
She is fascinating. She's an old friend of ours. I was trying to find some kind of segue from what we had there, but
sometimes there's just not one.
There's not one. So it's fine. So, Amy's an old friend. We've known her all of our lives as well, from preschool on. One thing that's really great about this show is we've got a lot of friends, and especially there in, as we're finding out, in our weird hometown of Kingfisher, Oklahoma. So it seems like we're not going to run out of too many people to talk to. We can just always go to our hometown friends.
Yeah, there's a lot there.
There is a lot there, more than we ever knew. And Amy reached out to us and she said, hey, I got some cool stuff to talk about. And so we had a great long talk. It was just amazing. Amazing, creepy, fun stories.
Yeah.
Definitely goes in the haunted halls of Weirdsville in that corner of town. we really appreciate Amy taking time out to do it and talk to us. And just catching up with Amy was great in general. So
yeah,
we did a lot of that off air, but that was a lot of fun. So yeah, I guess we'll stop beating around the bush and get right there to it. Amy, what's your weird story?
Okay, so my weird story starts before I was even born. Now, my stepfather, who I did not know was going to be my stepfather at that time, grew up in Dover, Oklahoma, in a house on Main Street. That two-story house that's on Main Street right across from the Red Dirt, what used to be Red Dirt Cafe, and, you know, it's went through what, anyway.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
So, that's the house. So, he swore up and down this house was haunted. He would hear footsteps up and down the stairs at night. The lights would come on. The phone would ring and nobody would be there. It terrified him as a child and a teenager. Then, you know, he moves on with his life. You know, my family, you know, comes around, and my aunt buys that house.
Oh, cool.
So, as a child, I would go over to that house and stay the night, and you would totally hear the footsteps up and down the... I had the weirdest dreams in that house. As a child, and this is like, I'm talking 5 or 6, I dreamed in that house that there was like a witch coven. And they were boiling me in, like, this cauldron. I mean, it was, like, it was scary as shit, you know. It was, I mean, I would have horrible dreams in this house. But I didn't, you know, I was young, and so I didn't really think about ghosts or any, you know, that wasn't really on my head. You know, I just knew that I had bad dreams in the house.
Yeah.
At that point in time, ghosts were part of Scooby-Doo.
Right. Well, and also, so here's the other weird kind of parallel. I lived in, you know, in Kingfisher on Main Street where Dairy Queen is.
Yeah.
That used to be my house. They tore down our house to make Dairy
Queen. Oh, wow. Okay.
Oh, wow.
So I used to live there, and that house was haunted too.
Wow.
I wouldn't doubt it, because that's right across the street from the Catholic Church.
Yeah, yes. And, yes. 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 That's and not, right across from like I mean there's like, you know, it was Main Street Kingfisher. Yeah. Jesus.
Yeah,
you know,
and old
history, you know, went down on Main Street Kingfisher.
For sure.
For real.
So that house was totally haunted, but it wasn't anything bad. It was a good old lady ghost. But I didn't know it was a ghost. Again, I was just a little kid, had no idea it was a ghost. So I would talk to this lady ghost and just have like conversations, and she would talk back, but she would talk back to me through the photographs on the walls.
Whoa.
Whoa. Wow.
So okay. So like in Harry Potter or something, like these are,
I've never watched Harry Potter though.
They're a lot of fun, but like, okay. Basically, so it was almost like you were looking, at a TV screen.
Yes, like, you know, exactly, the image was animated. TV screen. More where the It thing, the clown does, and they're doing the slideshow, and then the clown does the moving and stuff like that.
Right.
Mm-hmm. More like that. Wow. Not scary.
Mm. Wow.
Never scared.
Interesting.
That's really cool.
So, I did not know that this was bizarre. I did not know this was weird, but I'll tell you, my stepfather was a real son of a bitch, and this ghost hated his guts.
Really?
This ghost would sit there, and apparently my mom had this old antique rocker that belonged to her grandmother, and it was in their bedroom in this house on Main Street. And she would wake up, or he would wake up, and it would just be rocking furiously back and forth.
Oh.
He made us move from that house because he was so afraid.
Wow.
Yeah, he went into the basement one time. And it was one of those, it had it was a, there was like a septic system in the basement. He went down and opened the door, and it was full of snakes.
Whoa.
He called an exterminator, the landlord or whatever, came out, couldn't find a thing.
Whoa, man.
Because that's, one,
that's being crazy.
Snakes in where we lived were not common. Like, you didn't see snakes around. You'd see them, you'd see water moccasins, you'd see them occasionally
in the fields and
in the fields
not
and stuff,
necessarily,
but not in town.
Downtown Kingfisher. Or,
right, right. And okay, wow, that's wild.
That is wild.
Do you know who the old woman was? Was
no, nope. I don't know anything. I don't know anything about it. And I've tried to figure it out afterwards, but then they were very not. My parents are very noncommittal about that. I mean, it freaked them out. I mean, they moved.
Oh wow!
So let me tell you what happened before we moved, though.
Mm-hmm.
So shortly before we moved, I had the weird. I had a dream. I mean, just like this crazy ass dream. And I had a dream that. And it's going to be the most, so to me, one of the most terrifying things at the time were those old men puppets on the Muppet Show.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes.
I was like six though, you know,
but yeah, they were a little
terrifying
weird
to me. So I had a nightmare that these things had turned into vampires and were chasing me. Right. So I was running and I remember running by this house that I had never seen before. And jumping over this, like, weird gray bar in the front. And then it's like, you know, just this weird house, this house that I didn't know. I'll shit you not, that's the house we moved into. That gray bar
was
in front of so they had converted the garage into a den. And so that gray bar was there so people didn't run through the den that was used to it being a garage.
Wow. Wow, man.
Yep.
That is incredible.
I think I remember that when you say gray bar, I was thinking, I was like, man, that sounds like the place that you lived in for a long time. I remember that. That's wild.
So you
man,
know, that's wild. So you don't think that the ghosts weren't attached to him necessarily because there's a different ghost in each vicinity, right? Each home.
Correct.
Okay.
Yes.
Wow.
But, you know, just it just so happened, you know.
That is crazy, man.
Yeah. So when we moved to the new house on College Hill, I started talking to my pictures. They would not talk back anymore.
Wow.
And I couldn't figure it out.
Wow.
Wow.
So everything just stopped happening when you moved.
Yep.
Wow.
Yep. So you just thought that because you were little and you grew up like that, you just thought that was completely normal.
I just thought it was what people did.
Was it just like
it was
the people?
Little kid jibber jab.
But okay, so like, all right, so go when you were talking to the pictures.
Yeah.
Was it just the woman, or was it whoever was in the picture?
It was whoever was in the picture, but. But it was the woman. Speaking I don't know how to explain woman, it more than that.
Okay,
right.
The pictures would make the pictures did not turn into the woman, but I didn't know it was a woman. I had no idea it was a woman. I didn't know about the woman thing until later on, you know, much later until I was like 12 or 13 or whatever when I heard the reason why we had moved out of the house.
Oh, okay.
So
you never brought it up to them at all? Like you
but they thought they thought I was talking about. They could not. Okay, so I did bring it up while we were living in the house. Mm-hmm. And they thought I was talking about. Sorry, it's fucking snowing again.
Amy lives in Michigan, so she's hating it right now.
We're recording this interview on the last day of March.
Oh my god.
2019 and so
I'm sorry.
No, I totally just see that's why I was doing this in the basement. Sorry, I'm distracted. Oh, look, a squirrel. Anyway, I don't even know where I was now.
You were describing how you talked to the pictures and you were trying to explain to your family.
And they thought it was just the headlights of the cars that I was talking about. You know how when a car moves past you, we lived on Main Street, so cars would go by all the time. You know how at night when the cars would their headlights would refract off the windows and whatever, it would do that bright light that moves across the window.
Yeah, right.
That's what they were thought I was talking about. And wow. I'm like, no, that's a bit. They thought that's what it was. And,
now, were they forthcoming with you when things would happen to them? Okay.
No. They didn't want to scare you guys.
That's interesting.
Well, no, I don't know that that's no. They liked scaring us. They were assholes, actually. So I don't think that was it.
Okay.
I think that it just personally was too close to home for them.
Okay.
I think it scared them.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Wow. That's great. I'm always fascinated because we had somebody on last week that her home was haunted, and they, people would see the same things, but they wouldn't necessarily talk about that. You know what I mean? I'm always interested in that because it's like that just validates things a little bit more. You know that apparently everybody's seeing some stuff, but nobody was talking about it because everybody thought that, they'd be taken as the crazy person.
Right. Well, obviously nobody told me why we moved.
Right.
Until,
interesting.
Much, much later.
Interesting.
But yeah.
Intense.
Okay. Wow. So the next story in my chronological story is not a ghost story, but it is a weird story.
Okay.
That's and it will make you be like, what even? So, about 12. Right about that age is when the Freddy Krueger whole thing started. Yeah. They were up to about 3, I think, at this point.
Uh-huh.
So, this was whatever age there were 3 Freddy Kruegers.
Probably around 12, 13 for 12, us, I 13-ish. Think.
13-ish. Yeah. So, my room in this house, this was still the same house, the non-haunted house with the gray bar. So mm-hmm. my room was actually the room that my room was actually previously a formal dining room, but my stepdad was kind of a wannabe carpenter, and so he made it into my room, and he did a pretty good job, whatever. But it was right by the front door. So there was my room was literally the front door and then entrance was right next to my room, which was fantastic in high school, but not so great when you're 12 and this, random scary thing happens.
Mm-hmm.
I can officially, I'm breaking in here with a news report. A Nightmare on Elm Street 3, Dream Warriors, was released in 1987.
Oh,
so,
yeah.
Just FYI.
Yeah.
We were about 12.
Yeah.
Yeah, that checks.
Beautiful.
So, there you go. So there was the HBO was playing all 3 of these Nightmare on Elm Streets mm-hmm. because it had just been released, so they're doing a marathon. So, my mother and I stayed up watching all 3 of these Nightmare on Elm Streets. Then I go to bed. And so it's about 2:30. Hadn't gone to sleep yet. And I hear outside on the front door.
That just sort of chills down my spine.
And I look out the blinds and there's somebody there. I run to my mom and stepdad's room and I'm like, Freddy Krueger is here. He's trying to get in. Oh my God, Freddy Krueger is here. So of course, what do they say?
You go back to sleep. You go back to bed. You're dreaming. Yeah.
So I do. Crawl back into bed. This time I hear chunk, 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 chunk. Get up, run back. I go, something is there. I don't know if it's Freddy Krueger. Something is out there. So, no more scary movies for you, da 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 da. But they get up. because it's obvious nobody's going to sleep.
Right.
They turn on the porch light. Running, tire squealing. They open the door. Huge, long scratch marks from somebody using a crowbar trying to break in.
No. Oh, my God.
Wow. Wow. Wow.
Trauma. Ties.
Yeah, I can imagine. Wow. What did your parents were like, okay, well, I guess you're telling the truth. Wow. Yep. Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. That is crazy, man.
That is crazy. That is.
Okay, so that was a bonus story. That wasn't even my number three story.
Okay, great. No, fantastic.
That was awesome. That was awesome.
That would have freaked me out, man. Because where you live, people need to understand where you lived is not in town. It was more out in the country. And
across my house was a field. It was a wheat field. Yeah. That's what it was.
So,
if it rained, I had to go to Wendy's Schoonover's house because the bus would get stuck on my road. Right. So, I mean, it was like, there's, it was some country living shit.
Yeah, man. Yeah, God, that is creepy.
Yeah. And, you know, this also gives me a really big insight into you because I remember in middle school and in high school, particularly in class, most of the time, you were nose deep in some kind of Stephen King other kind of book. Go ask Alice.
Yeah. Or absolutely.
Something like that.
I'm telling you, there is nothing I like better than reading. You know, back when I was a freshman and sophomore, did you know I did book reports for like juniors and seniors? I made $20 a pop.
That's great.
Believe it.
That's awesome.
I absolutely.
That is awesome, man.
Yeah. $20 a pop. That's anyway. Great. So.
You want to out anybody on who you did reports
for? No. I'll tell you later.
Oh, that's all funny. That's funny. Hey, if I'd have known it was that cheap, I would have hit you up, man.
You know, I was, you know, $20 was $20 back then, man.
You know, Barry made up a book in, I won't say which grade, but there was one grade for sure that Barry made up a book report. And I remember
I had to stand up and tell it.
And the teacher, bless her heart, totally went on, you know. So
which one?
I can't. Well, I'll tell you. All
okay.
It was, you know, not that.
Yeah.
Barry, you can say it if you want.
No, I was just going to say is when we were sophomores. So
yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, encouraged by that, I did a book over a comic book one time when I forgot to read.
Hey, I'm not proud of this, but I never read a book cover to cover until I graduated high school. Could I get the cliff notes on that guy? I was that guy.
Yeah, you did need me. You did need me. Yeah,
for sure. For sure.
Really bad.
And the girl, the babysitter girl, she picked up the phone and there was a policeman on the other side. And he said, "We've tracked the phone call and it's coming from inside the house."
Whoa.
Yeah, dude.
I love those urban legend stories.
Dude, I do too. And you remember the one where the girl, it's always the babysitter or it's the kids making out in Lover's Lane. But there's the one where the girl comes up and she finds the kids are watching TV and she turns them around and their face has SpaghettiOs.
Oh, man. Or the hook guy. Remember the hook guy?
Oh, the hook was hanging from the rearview mirror.
Yeah.
Yeah. So if you got a story that is similar to any of those awesome urban legends, we want to hear it. Because, you know, those urban legends, man, they start off as somebody's true life weird story. It's got to be true somewhere.
Okay, so fourth weird story. And this is all my own. So after my second husband and I got a divorce, it was kind of a suck divorce. It was like it was one of those heartbreak divorces, you know, where you're just like, your soul is sucked out and you're like, fuck, now what? So I've got two girls. And I go and I'm looking for a house and I find this house in Oklahoma City in kind of the Midtown district, I'm not going to say what neighborhood.
Okay.
But kind of the Midtown area. And it's a lovely old house built in 1940. It's an old colonial, two-story, just perfect for, it's got three bedrooms, one bath, which isn't too bad because I'm one mom with two girls, and great huge backyard, just like all like really great things. So I buy it and I'm like, okay, you know, this is it. This is where I'm going to start over. Now, the house, I like things done properly and well. So I don't like first shit jobs. And so this house had been lived in by a lot of people, and a lot of people had done patch up first shit jobs on, mm-hmm. you know, playing this old house.
Yeah.
Like I shit you not, there was a quarter inch of different layers of wallpaper and paint and oil paint, and then another layer of wallpaper, mm-hmm. and then, I mean, it's just fucking insane. And then all the woodwork was covered in like the same, like just eighth inch of paint. It was mm-hmm. just awful. Mm-hmm. So I just started the long, slow process of renovating this house back to its original stuff, mm-hmm. you know. Mm-hmm. So room by room. And so this literally took me, I finished the last room right. I was in the middle of finishing it when we decided to move to Michigan. Wow. So this took me like 8 years of just, you know, one room at a time, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. because these houses are built with plaster. So I had to learn how to do plastering. I had to learn how to do like ceiling work. I had to learn how to do all this crap. Wow. I had to have it replumbed and, mm-hmm. you know, just like did all this work.
Yep.
Everything was really, I would notice whenever I would start a new project, I would hear footsteps in the upstairs hall and doors opening and closing and lights going on and off, but it was never anything violent. Mm. So, and growing up kind of like I did, I wasn't necessarily surprised. So I was kind of, but nothing in my life to that point had supernatural had ever been violent towards me. Yeah. So I had mm-hmm. no reason to think that it would be violent or anything. So it was just kind of like, live and let live. And it was fine. Everything was fine. Went on for like, everything was fine for a long time. I met my husband and he moved in and he noticed the weirdness and the opening doors and the like, I mean, the doors would just open. Yeah. I mean, it's just like, that's mm-hmm. just how it is. The dogs would track stuff, even stuff that wasn't there.
Wow.
We would lose stuff like, so shit would be missing, like the weirdest things, like this one little paring knife, and it was gone. So Patrick went and got another knife, and it disappeared too. And then I was like, God damn it, a knife better show up. And then the two fucking knives would be in the drawer.
Whoa. Whoa.
And then this happened, I shit you not, with the remote. I lost the remote for like 2 days. On day two, I was pissed because, and I'll tell you a story of why I know this ghost took this fucking remote. And I'm like, shit you not, I am going to the store. When I get back, I better find this fucking remote or I'm having a cleansing. I shit you not. I'm like, I am an atheist. I will do this. So, yeah, found it when I got back. Wow. So I'll tell you how I know this ghost did this. You know, I told you I did each room piece by piece. Now, the girls and I moved into this house when the girls were like 8 and 10. So they weren't babies at all, by any means.
Yeah.
When I was redoing the ceiling in the dining room, I was pulling down the old plaster and shit and all the old lathe work and cement and Darby's baby bracelet with her name written on it fell out from between the floors.
What?
Whoa.
I have photographic evidence of this. I took a picture immediately following it.
Wow.
Definitely. Also in that. So it was, also with it was name tags from like address labels from the people, from some other people who had lived there before. And I know mice didn't do it because mice would have eaten those gummed labels.
Yeah. Like, yes, they would. Mm-hmm. Yes, they would.
So this was this is above the ceilings?
Between the floors, between the first and the second floor.
Wow.
Between plaster and lath work.
Wow.
Wow.
That's bizarre.
That is crazy.
How do you, what is your thought on that?
I Any don't explanation? Know. I don't, yeah. I have nothing. I mean, what can you say? Do? Wow. I mean, it was in the fucking ceiling. I pulled it out of the ceiling.
That's so weird. You know, it's crazy because you hear about like ghosts really starting to pop off when you do renovations like that.
Yeah.
Do you think that might have been part of it?
Yes. Now, and I'll tell you why. I will tell you now the scary part of it.
Mm-hmm.
Scary story that happened with that. Mm-hmm. So, Shelby now is about 13 years old.
Uh-huh.
And she kind of wants to repaint her room because she feels like it's a little childish. Mm-hmm. Now, I say, I have just repainted your sister's room because, again, I was redoing the whole house one room at a time. And I had done her room first. So I was a little bit pissed off that she wanted to redo her room mm-hmm. when I'd already fucking redid her room. And mm-hmm. I have like 8,000 other fucking rooms in this house to redo, you know? So it's like, Jesus Christ. Yeah. So I was kind of pissed off. And so I'm like, I will do it after I finish Darby's room, but you're just going to have to be patient, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I finished Darby's room. Well, I hadn't finished Darby's room. I was in the process of finishing Darby's room. And so I had all the paint cans in Darby's room because Darby wanted this mural on her wall because my children are spoiled. So I was doing this thing. Anyway, so she has this girlfriend named Krista come over and spend the night. And Krista's mom is a model. And I only bring that up in that Krista's mother has no boundaries and neither does Krista.
Uh-huh.
So I'm just going to lay that on the table.
Okay, I've got a good idea.
There you go. Yep. So the girls are just being nuts. And I hear them jumping around, you know, and just acting like fools. And I'm like, you guys need to, you know, literally, they were like jumping and I in the ceiling in the living room would go like this, not literally like that, but the fan would shake and I'd be like, Jesus fucking Christ, because these are plaster. What are you doing? Apparently they're jumping off the top bunk.
Yeah.
There you go. But you want to know why they were doing that?
Why?
So the reason they were jumping like that is because they had taken the paint from their Darby's room, all the different colors of paint for the mural, and dunk their hands into it to jump off the bunk beds and slap the ceiling.
That's innovative.
That's and the great. Tops I of the it. Walls. And I spent 6 weeks working on that room of hers, and I have never in my life been so mad at that child. If I was ever going to, like, believe in corporal punishment, that would have been the day. But instead, I called her dad, and I'm like, you need to come get your kid right now. And he knows, like, at that point, he just needs to come get the kids. But anyway, so after that whole situation, I was livid. I have never been so mad at, like, the children in my life. So I don't know if it was, like, the desecration. I mean, because I felt a desecration of the house. You know what I mean? I mean, it's hard to, because I was like, I worked just so hard on this house, you know, and it was just like, I know it's a stupid thing to be like super mad about, but I was just super mad about it.
Yeah. So you have a right to be mad.
I think that's completely understandable. Any parent would agree, I'm sure. Any person with just an understanding that, you know, you've done a lot of work and you've had, you know, these just terrible human beings, one of whom you made, have just come along and undone it all.
Everyone has their breaking point.
Well, and her punishment was she had to leave it like that till she was 18.
Now, nice. That's a great punishment.
Nice.
And I meant it. She wanted to change it when she was about 16, and I'm like, oh, no. Oh, no. 18, my friend, 18.
That's great.
So anyway, so I don't know if it was the combination of that or just my ill feelings about it or really what, but I was on the phone with my sister, Andrea, later that night, and I was just, you know how sisters talk. And I was like, that kid, I'm just going to kill her. It's just too much. I just, you know, and I drink a wine. And I hear from upstairs, boom, 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 boom. Nobody is here.
Wow.
I am alone. I go. And Andre goes, what was that? And I'm like, I don't know, but I'm scared because I was.
Yeah.
Then dogs were sitting in the dog chair, which is the chair that they were, you know, I mean,
yeah,
it's the chair that dogs are allowed on because they're dogs and they're gross. Uh-huh. So anyway, they were on the dog chair and I watched them watch something come down the stairs. And then into the kitchen. So I sit there talking to my sister. And I'm like, I don't know what to do. I'm scared. I've never heard it make that angry noise before. You know, it just went into, there was some noises in the kitchen, some shuffling noises in the kitchen now. And I'm in the living room, which shares a wall with the kitchen. It's like just on the other side. And I'm like, yeah. Oh God, what do I do? And she's like, just get up. And she starts praying, but I'm an atheist. And she's like, I know you're not, but she's going to do it. Yeah. So I'm like, whatever. So I just like kind of, and I just kind of peek into the kitchen, you know, like just like, and like about 2/3 of the cabinets are wide open.
And it was Fran Drescher.
Nobody was, I didn't see anything. Yeah, right?
Wow.
I didn't see anything, but just the cabinets were open. I'm like,
Oh,
that's scary. Oh.
That is creepy. I had to say that just to kind of uncreep myself for a minute.
yeah. So
Did you hear them open or did they make any sound?
I heard a rustling, but no, I did not specifically hear the cabinets open at all. And these are old cabinets. These are cabinets made in the 1940s.
Wow.
These are not quiet cabinets.
Right.
So I did not hear them open.
Okay. Wow.
So that was the only scary thing. So then my brother, my little brother, JC, who's 9 years younger than I am, got married to this one girl named Amber, and they were over for a barbecue or something. And she brings we were talking about the house being, you know, creepy and haunted. And she's like, oh, my dad's a paranormal investigator. I'm like,
wow.
Really? And she said, yeah, you want me to see if he wants to do something here? And I'm like, okay, we'll see, you know?
Yeah.
So it's like, just, we'll see what happens. So we kind of set up a thing. It kind of took like 3 or 4 months. It was stupid long, but he finally came out with his team. It was like him and a guy with like electronical things and then a woman that did like was a medium.
Right.
And I'm not saying I believe in any or all of these things. I'm just saying what they did.
Right.
Right.
So they knock on the door, you know, when they get there and I go and answer the door and he comes in and he goes, did you say, come on in? And I said, no, I just answered the door. He has a recording of some man's voice saying, come on in.
Oh, wow.
Whoa.
Wow. Do you have that by chance?
No, okay. And I'll tell you why.
Okay, okay.
I wish I did. I tried to get it for a long time.
Yeah.
But it got complicated. So, then we do all this other stuff, and they do their readings with their machines and whatnot. And they were, they're like, yeah, we get really high readings in the hallway upstairs, which is pretty much the only place I had really had a lot of activity was the hallway upstairs. Mm-hmm. So we're all sitting on the hallway floor, and the seance lady is doing her little seance thing. And I'll shit you not, we smelled roses drifting down the hallway just like that. Like, it would go from one person, because the upstairs hallway was kind of narrow. So we were sitting feet to feet, you know, along the hallway and along the doors. And it just went person to person, like somebody walking by.
Wow.
And we do not have floral scented things because I don't like the scent of floral,
right.
Actually.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I like more like the food smells, you know, and the sweet smells, less of the floral. So none of my plugins or I don't have sachets of potpourri or whatever, you know, I just don't care for that. So that was weird.
Wow.
That is really weird. And that's something that has been mentioned here before, where there were some smells that were unusual. And I believe when Kip was on, didn't she say that there's a smell of I know bacon, but wasn't it bacon and roses?
Gosh, man, that's a good question.
I believe somebody mentioned.
I know that they had the roses that showed up with the note.
Maybe that's what I'm thinking. But maybe that's what.
Yeah, I mean,
you know what's funny, mentioning the roses, when I moved into that house, the whole front yard had these random wild rose bushes that I had to tear out because they had this weird disease that makes them get
black.
Instead of having five leaves, they have all these 8,000 leaves or whatever.
Okay.
Does this make, I don't know what, it's some kind of rose. I'm not I do dead things, not flowers.
Right.
So. Right. But anyway, the gardener guy was Ricardo was no, you have to take them all out. And I'm okay, take them out. So there was there were roses there when I moved in.
Wow. That is so strange.
That's really wild.
Why I didn't get more information.
Yeah.
So shortly after that, oh my gosh, this lady that my brother was married to did have she did have a bipolar disorder.
Okay.
And so she was having some pretty significant mood swings that was causing her relationship with my brother to be not good for either one of them.
Right.
So they got a divorce under less than ideal circumstances.
Sure.
Then she just cut off all contact with me.
Okay.
And I tried to contact her later, and she was like, no, I really think it's best that I don't speak to anybody, anyone in his family. And I'm like, okay, well, you know, I can't I can't shit a,
of course,
you know, thing, but
right. Yeah.
It was really kind of irritating because I was really curious, but whatever.
That is crazy, man. Well, smells really do. They come up, you know, people talk about that. Mm-hmm. Sense, you know, that it's very powerful. That's a very powerful thing, you know. That's crazy.
It's wild.
So after we moved to Michigan, my daughter, my oldest daughter and my grandson moved into the house. And they've been living there since. And I just sold the house yesterday.
And congratulations.
They'll be moving they'll be moving to Michigan next month. And so, yay.
That's great.
Cool.
So now I feel free to talk about the story since I sold it. I sold it to an investor who's just going to flip it. So
Yeah.
There you go. That's why you don't want to mention where it's at.
Yeah, right. That's hilarious. That's great, man. Wow. That's so trippy. I mean, obviously you're sensitive to these things. I mean, you have some sort of connection or ability or something, because not most people, you know, have those experiences.
Yeah.
You know,
that's probably, I guess, probably most people don't.
Yeah.
But I guess I'm just lucky.
No, yeah.
But I'm not even, I am not even, I'm like the most skeptical person on the planet. Sure. You know, I am like total science. I am like science all the way.
Mm-hmm. Of course.
So even my art is like science, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and that's what we like. That's a common thing. Like, you know, what you see a lot is people that have these experiences. Part of the reason why we're doing this is because a lot of people have these experiences. Now, some not your specific experience. That's not what I mean. But, you know, they have these things that happen. And it's like they don't talk about it because, you know, you risk sort of, you know, being put in a category of people that are, you know, a little less, you know, grounded.
Well, everybody. I'm already a little less rounded.
Well, it suits you, and that's part of the reason why we love you.
You know, and I don't mind that, actually. It keeps them on their toes.
Right, exactly. Exactly.
Hey, everybody, you're listening to the What's Your Weird Story podcast. You probably knew that already because you're listening or downloaded to the episode off of your iTunes or your Spotify or whatever place you get your podcast from. We want to thank you for listening. We also want to remind you to like us, follow us, subscribe to us. Make sure that you get your new podcast episode every week. We'd also like to ask you to rate and review so that we can grow our audience. We can have more friends. We can have more stories. So thanks for listening to What's Your Weird Story. So have you had any kind of experiences at this new house there in Michigan?
No, I thought I did. So
yeah,
I was in my basement in the craft room, and which is, its actual name is Pot and Rot, because that's what happens down there. So anyway.
Yeah.
So,
well, but I was down there, it was about 3:30 in the morning, and Patrick was way in bed, and Shelby was at work. She works the graveyard shift at the casino. So I thought, I had the whole, you know, bottom two floors to myself. I hear, and this was on my mother-in-law's birthday. Now, remember, my mother-in-law and her husband used to live in this house. And her husband had died, you know, Ralph died about 5-ish years ago. So I heard somebody run, and this was on Sharon's birthday. I heard somebody run up the stairs like they were in a huge hurry, and then run and get to halfway down the basement stairs, and then the steps just stopped.
Wow.
And I was like, what the fuck? And I told Patrick, I'm like, okay, I think I heard something really crazy. I'm like, it might have been your dad looking for your mom on her birthday, because it was like in a really big hurry. But I don't really believe that, but I don't know what else it could be. But don't tell Shelby, because she's already freaked out about this house a little bit, because it's a new house and she's, you know, it's new to her, and she's, you know, she's 21, but she's still not fully cooked.
Sure.
So she's, you know, I'm like, don't tell Shelby. So later on that morning, she comes home and I'm talking to her, and she goes, yeah, this morning I had to run home at 3:30 to get my medicine. And I'm like,
that's funny.
So I grab her by the sleeve and I drag her upstairs, and I like push her into Patrick's office, and I'm like, she's the ghost. It was her. And I'm like, wait, what about the steps? They only went halfway down. And she's like, oh, I was in a really big hurry. I jumped.
That's great. Debunked. I'm like, oh. Debunked. Yep.
That's
awesome. That is great, man.
So there's my debunked story.
Sweet.
That's
great.
Okay, so you mentioned earlier in how you've got some weird hobby, your art, these things you do, and I hadn't thought about even bringing it up in conversation until I got a text today, this morning, from our part-time special correspondent, and Bigfoot expert Jeff Hubbard, where he says to me, he's telling us that he couldn't be here, but he says, and I quote, "You need to be sure to bring up her weird ass hobby."
It is weird.
So tell us what your weird hobby is. And you know what? This is really cool. This is a new area of Weirdsville. And we're totally open to this because this is a whole other thing. You know, it's not the supernatural. It's not anything, but it's a cool thing that a lot of people are out there are going to think is weird. So what do you do?
So I do, I like to consider myself a reanimator of sorts. I like to bring dead things back to life in whatever way that I can, almost.
So you're not talking necromancy here. You're not performing dark arts or anything like that.
I can't talk about that, but I can tell you. No, mostly through taxidermy and wet specimens and mummification and kind of artistic dissections, I guess you would call it.
Wow. Now,
so most of the time I collect the animals I find as roadkill. So nothing ever dies from my art, ever.
Sure.
I also use frozen feeder rats from the pet store because I have a snapping turtle that I am wintering. He was a late hatcher, or she. His name is Sunshine. So
Sunshine.
Yeah, Sunshine. So what I do is I buy the frozen rats and frozen mice, and I take the crusts off her sandwiches.
That's put so nicely. Yeah,
that's fantastic. I've got the mental picture, but do elaborate there. What do you
I skin them. And I actually also have four tarantulas, and they also enjoy a bit of fresh meat like of that. Course. I dangle it on a string and they just go right after
it. Wow.
All about it.
Oh, you are not talking my language.
Like. My son was way into tarantulas and lizards and stuff. So we went through all that. And
I'm okay with things with four legs, but that's where we draw the line.
You may actually edit this part out because it's kind of Downersville. But my stepdad was like, super asshole. But you can totally, you don't have to edit it out. He was super abusive to my pets, but he was afraid of tarantulas. Mm. So when I was 12, that's when I figured out that's the kind of pet I could have that he couldn't torture.
Yeah, man. Yeah, that's
that makes sense.
That's crazy. That's sad. People that are abusive to animals are pieces of shit.
People, they're not people. They're not human.
No, I could never hurt an animal. And I mean, actually, I think the reason I do what I do, or I feel like the reason I do what I do, is because I do respect animals so much. And I do, I hate to see them. I think what I do is better than them rotting in the ground. That's just how I feel.
How did you get into that? What sparked an interest?
I'm just weird. And I just let my freak flag fly.
That's all.
Good.
I have a colony of about 200, well, two colonies, actually, of flesh-eating beetles that help me in my work.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
So they can take care of a mostly full-grown raccoon overnight. I mean, not the brains, because the brains take longer if you don't debrain it. But
Wow, that's impressive.
Yeah. Holy shit. I mean, that's a pretty massive colony.
Damn, man.
Wow. I've got a friend here who she does bone art as well. She does a lot of like wood burning scrimshaw type.
I love that. I am not. And, I cannot, because so my hands actually really suck for the most part. So doing like that kind of pressure is just too much. But right. doing like, but I'm able to do the stuff that I do pretty well. But I have like huge admiration for the Scrimshaw stuff. That is like, I've tried my hand at it just as an experiment, and it is hard.
Yeah, it's hard. Yeah. So we'll have to make sure, we'll definitely have to get some images, some of your favorite stuff that you've done to put on the website.
My favorite things to do are like taxidermy mice dioramas of things that I
find. Those are really cool.
And I don't actually, I sell them sometimes, but only after I get tired of looking at them.
That's great.
Believe me, I know how that goes. I know how that goes. Yeah. I just got some of my paintings to a show, and all of them have to be sold, but there's one that I don't really want to sell. So I put a lot of money on it. And if somebody's willing to give me that amount for it, and it's worth it. It's probably one of my top two paintings I've ever done. But if, you know, I want to hold on to it for a little bit longer, at least, because it to me is a mile marker kind of thing. But I also really like it. But, you know, but again, if somebody wants to meet that X amount of money, then I will be okay. That's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm just now starting to get good enough that my taxidermy mounts will bring, you know, $100 a piece, like for mice and rats and things. Wow. And, you know, $150 to $200 for larger things. Cool. So
that is cool.
I'm working on that squirrel skeleton I showed you earlier. Mm-hmm. That one I hope to get $150, $175 out of.
Sorry, I recommend Barry and I both being very cautious about stepping over each other there. I would recommend finding like a curiosity kind of place, like those stops, or some kind of like, you know, if you're looking more towards
putting art out. I have a ladies only Facebook group, and so I share my art with them and they buy it. And so.
Great.
I'm kind of okay with like just like people I know buying it almost.
Yeah, sure.
I don't know. It's weird. It's like,
no,
I'm kind of like attached to them a little bit. I don't know. I'd just as soon give them away than sell them almost.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So, no, I get that too. You put a lot of yourself into your work as an artist. That's what artists do. They put a lot of themselves into it. And that's why.
It's like, I don't even know how to price, you know, how do you price something that you spent, you know, Jesus Christ, what is that worth?
Right.
You know.
Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You're the only person I know that does this. So I mean, it's fascinating. That is fascinating. Well,
I've got the friend who does that kind of Scrimshaw type work, and she does other stuff as well. And then I've got another friend who does similar kind of stuff to where not necessarily like make scenes and stuff, but she's also used a lot of carcasses or, you know, dead animals for her art. And it's really, you know, interesting.
Yeah.
We need a word for that. We need to call it like biological art or something. Yeah. There needs to be a category for this. So somebody needs to coin a phrase, cause I don't know what to call it.
Yeah, man. Yeah. Maybe Weirdsville could come up with something.
Do it.
Well, you know, I mean, honestly, like taxidermy would taxidermy art would be the closest.
And that's what I usually hashtag everything. But see, taxidermy has such a bad connotation.
Right, right.
People think of a taxidermist as somebody who just like, you know, does lions and elephants and these endangered species, which I would never, you know, ever do.
It's also there's the thing that by using there's the stigma on the fact that these are dead things, even though they've been cleaned and everything and preserved and all the things that, you know, there's a stigma on these being the bio part of it, you know, that it's no longer alive. And so, you know, I mean, most words, we don't have a lot of words that are positive that reflect no longer living, you know.
Yeah,
they all have a negative connotation.
The thing is you're paying respect. You know what I mean? I think that people get bent out of shape about a lot of bullshit these days, and it's like, you know, we're not trying to be disrespectful. We're paying homage to the animal, and we're, like you said, giving it a second life, giving it something out of out of something that was rotting on the road. I invite you to look up.
There's this lady. Her name is Jessica Joslin.
Okay.
Jossline. Mm-hmm. Look her up. Her art is fantastic.
Cool.
Our 16-year-old Puggle recently passed away a couple of weeks ago, and I'm actually going to have her work on a piece for me with his skull. So I'm just really excited about that. But if you see her art, you will, I mean, I don't know. She is just amazing. And you can see how she feels about the animals just exactly through it, you know.
That's great. Good for you. Good for you. Happy that you're doing that. And we appreciate you taking the time to share.
No problem.
To share your glad stories, to. You know.
Well, we got one more, you know, Barry, there's one more weird thing connected here to Amy. And this is a much lighter kind of thing, but it's also really cool. Most people might not know this, but some people might know she has kind of a famous child, a famous fur baby, a celebrity kitty that lives there with her. And why don't you tell us about your little darling there?
Little sauerkraut. She was a foster kitten of ours. She had failure to thrive, and so I spent a lot of time working on her. She's not very smart, and she has feline hyperesthesia, which causes her skin to be extra sensitive. So, like a stray draft of wind, or just, you know, whatever she perceives as, you know, something could set her off, and she'd scratch that area until she'd bleed.
Oh,
so she wears little. Here, I'll show you, Miss Princess. She wears little outfits.
Okay, yeah.
See you there.
Yeah. It's like a little, it's like if you put a t-shirt on a dog or something like
exactly.
that.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So it's like a little thunder shirt.
I gotcha.
And it keeps her from scratching herself.
That's great.
In order to, when I first got her, I was trying to find her a home. And since she was special needs, I knew she'd be hard to adopt. So I was trying to widen the adoption pool. So I thought, well, I'll make her an Instagram or a Facebook page and an Instagram page. And so maybe get her an adopter, you know. But by the time she was ready for adoption, I kind of fell in love with her because she was such a mess and a wreck. And she had yeast infections on her face. And she just has a heart murmur. And she's just an awful cat. Mm-hmm. And she smells. She can't clean her own butt. And her face leaks. So I just kept her because I figured nobody else could do it right.
Yeah. Good. That's a kind thing to do, you know.
But she is the princess of the household, and the internet loves a cat in a tutu. Because sometimes if she's super scratchy, the only way I can get her to stop is to put a tutu on her, and then her back leg cannot get over the tutu to scratch herself in the neck right here, which is her favorite spot to go after.
Okay.
So
the great thing and the thing behind it, her name, is that she has this look. She looks like, you know, everybody knows Grumpy Cat. Well, Sauerkraut Kitty looks very, very just disgruntled. She's very stern, kind of like a furrowed brow all the time. Uh-huh. And she's super cute. And I'm just pulled up her Instagram account right now. And 139K followers. 139.
Oh my lord. We can only hope to have as many, man.
Holy I think we're standing around 139.
She used to she had 150, but I've kind of slacked the last 2 years.
Wow.
So, yeah, but I it's not what motivates me. So.
Oh yeah. Well, that's awesome. That's great. Yeah. Man.
I am glad that I'm able to use her platform to help education for spay and neuter and education for age-appropriate vaccinations for your cats and, you know, promoting banning declawing, which is just an awful practice.
Sure. It really is.
So there's a lot of good that comes with having a platform named Sauerkraut.
Sure. Well, good for you. That's great. You
do. We try to use it for good and not evil.
Well, yeah, you do a lot of good. You do a lot of good.
Thank you. Know, I appreciate it.
Pets need, you know, loving people that are out there to take care of them and help them, you know, sort of live a decent life, you know. That's an important thing.
Right. Right. Well, and sauerkraut even has a situation that if people do not have access, and I'm happy to, you know, share this with your followers, if people would like to get their cat spayed or neutered and they do not have the financial means, get with sauerkraut's center DM, and I'll see if I can find any low-cost resources in their area, and great. We also help out with finances when needed.
That's cool.
We appreciate that. And yeah, there's before we were, when we were chatting before we started recording, you had mentioned that you've fostered was over 500
cats and kittens.
And kittens in the, and that's just, and you've been given awards for being a great humanitarian, and that's super, super honorable, and it's super awesome, and I respect that a lot.
Well, I'll tell you a little weird story about it. They cats saved my life.
I believe that.
When I was doing some volunteer work with the ASPCA in Jacksonville, Florida, and it was a really strenuous labor job, you know, cleaning up after these like 700 cats. And I started getting some abdominal pains. So when I got back to Oklahoma, I went to the ER. Turned out I had a situation. I had a cancerous situation.
Oh,
wow.
So I had a hysterectomy. Did not need any further treatment, though, because it was caught so early.
Wow.
That's good. That's great.
That's great.
So I owe a debt.
Yeah. Yeah. That's fantastic.
You know, how many cats are worth Amy? You know, a lot.
That's great. That's
I still got more to go.
Yeah. Good for you.
Fantastic. Well, all right. Well, I guess, have you got anything else for us?
I think that's about it.
That's a lot. That's great. We covered a lot of ground.
We did.
And that was a lot of good stuff and a lot of great stories. And that crowbar one's going to creep me and haunt me for the rest of it.
Yeah, for sure.
So I did not say this, but there is this glow-in-the-dark frisbee. You remember those stupid glow-in-the-dark frisbees? Mm-hmm. But it was like right in front of my sister's room. And as I rounded a corner, I saw this glow-in-the-dark frisbee in the hall because I was crawling, you know. Scared the shit out of me. I thought it was also something, you know.
Oh, man.
But yeah, it's like I was like total. That was like the scariest thing ever.
Yeah, man.
Well, before we go, and this is one of those questions that I like to ask everybody. But did you ever play Bloody Mary or Light as a Feather, Stiff as a Board?
Yes, both.
And did you have any results?
Not with Bloody Mary, but yes, with Light as a Feather, Stiff as a Board at Girl Scout camp.
That's so crazy. Wow.
Yep.
That goes crazy. And it goes to keep that kind of goes to my theory that it seems like Light as a Feather, Stiff as a Board is a practice. Maybe it's something that only works for little girls. I don't know. It's so
maybe
strange.
No, but it totally did. Wow. We were all like, there's like, I don't know, 6, 7, however many little girls are in a, you know, like cabin. But yeah.
Nice.
My sister was one of them because, you know, we were always paired up. Mm-hmm. We were 13 months apart.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
We were Irish twins.
Right.
Yeah.
So yeah.
That's great. Nice.
I never could go through with the Bloody Mary because I was always
scared.
I was always too scared. I was a little scaredy cat, you know.
We did it at school. We did it at like Game Gilmore.
Oh, wow. Man.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah, that's right outside Mr. Hayes's. No. Miss Henderson's room.
Yeah.
There was the bathrooms right across from Miss Henderson's room. Yeah.
That's great. That's awesome. Well, Amy, thanks for joining us. This has been a lot of fun.
Yeah.
I was glad to. It's been great talking to you guys.
Yeah,
he never missed out. He missed out so bad.
Yeah.
He did. And he'll be, you know, but, you know, he gets he gets busy, and he's got, you know, this is busy time of year for him as well, with work. And also, so on the weekends, he gets put to task by his other boss.
That's okay. I literally had my husband with the ladder resetting the router downstairs and all the other honeydews too. So yep. I had no.
That's what we do. That's what we do. Yeah. So yeah, great to reconnect with Amy. You know, it's been too long.
Absolutely. We'll do it again.
Okay. Okay.
And Amy, stay weird.
I know no other way to be.
Thanks. All right. Take care.
See ya.
Hey, that's a nice t-shirt you got on there.
Oh, thanks, dude. It's brand new. Do you like that? It's one of the official What's Your Weird Story t-shirts.
Where'd you get that?
It's funny that you ask. I just got it off the brand new Spreadshirt.com site for the What's Your Weird Story podcast. There's no www. You just go straight to shop.spreadshirt.com/ what's without the apostrophe, WHATS hyphen YEO. -weird-story, and that'll take you right there.
I mean, you can never own enough clothing.
Well, it's true, Barry. There's t-shirts for the ladies, because, you know, they're cut differently. There's hoodies, which are really cool. There's two different kinds of hoodies, and there's also tote bags, so you can tote your stuff.
That's so cool, man.
So if you guys go out to spreadshirt.com, What's Your Weird Story, currently there are two designs, but there will be more going up very soon. So just keep your eyes out for that. And if you decide to get one of their shirts, tag yourself on Instagram to ours or Facebook. Show your love. Show us what you got. Let's see your true colors. Man, that was a blast.
That's so good. So good to talk to her, man.
Yeah, and those were just amazing stories that I have no idea about. Yeah,
I mean, that is another illustration on people that you grew up with that you had no idea what was going on in their personal life, you know.
We've known her all our lives, and we've always been friendly. And, you know, it's not like we were, like, unfriendly or didn't know, you know, strangers in the same class. You know, we knew her.
Right.
You know, I mean, like I said, I always remember, you know, Amy reading a lot of books and reading a lot of, you know, like I said, like Stephen King and V.C. Andrews, pulpy teen stuff, you know, yep. And horror stuff. And I remember reading that stuff that I would never have read.
Right. Yeah. No, she was always cool, and she, you know, was always very nice, and never, you know, you would have never assumed that she had some weird shit going on.
Yeah, yeah.
But I think that's like everybody. I mean, and that's kind of the deal, is like you grow up, even you and I. You know, we grow up with each other and we know each other really well. Things happen that you don't talk about because you're just like, nobody's going to believe that. So I just won't even talk about it.
Yeah. Well, I think that for Amy, for sure, the reason that she probably didn't say anything about it is because, you know, when she told her parents about the people in the pictures, the photographs, not talking to her anymore, you know, they dismissed it. And that, dismissed it in a weird way, saying it was lights reflecting off of the glass frames, which is unusual. But I guess, you know, sometimes you just got to find a something to frame for recognition, you know?
Yeah, and you don't want to leave that open to interpretation for a child, you know? So maybe it was just something that they thought of at the time because they knew something was going on. They didn't want her to worry about it. So they were just like, oh, this is what it is. That way, you know, she could sort of lay her mind to rest.
They must have known that there was something similar because, you know, like she said with her stepfather being, you know, picked on by the ghost, you know, being haunted by the ghost, which is why they left that house in the first place.
Yeah.
You know, so they must have known that there was something going on and not wanted to confirm it, nor necessarily deny it to imagination, which would seem to be the kind of thing that you would do, especially to a young child.
Right.
You're pretending or, you know, just something like that. That's not real, but, you know, but that's what happened to her. Right.
Absolutely. You know? And then the story about the guy trying to break into the house, you know, with the crowbar. I mean, that was, you know, the thing is that those stories you did hear about, you know, and I think the reason why you heard about them, they were sort of more on the urban legend type, you know, because you'd because we lived in the country, and the probably mm-hmm. most scary thing you could ever hear was that somebody was on your property, you know, mm-hmm. and you didn't know that they were there, and they, you know, yeah. something weird was happening. You know, I remember yeah. one story that was kind of like that was, you know, somebody would show up like in a pickup at late at night and like, mm-hmm. you know, tear through somebody's yard or do something yeah. weird like that. That was always scary, you know, but,
or drive really slow right. by yes. the house.
Yes.
Especially with like the lights off or something like staircasing, just anything like right. that, you right. know, because you just don't expect that. Mm-hmm. Obviously you don't expect somebody driving through your yard, but you don't expect a lot of people out when you live out on a country road, especially if you're isolated, like her house was kind of isolated from the rest of the houses out there mm-hmm. on College Hill. You just don't expect that kind of stuff, you know, and, you know, and like we talked before, is like, you don't go knocking on somebody's door late at night out in the country.
Right.
You know, because
it's a good way to get shot.
It's a good way to get shot. Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
I mean, it makes sense that you wouldn't tell people about that. It also, that is very urban legend, like you said. And, you know, it played into the fact that, you know, maybe she had an active imagination thinking that it was Freddy Krueger. But again, that's all she could frame it.
Right.
You know, as, yeah. so, right. you know.
Right.
Yep. So it's pretty wild. It and is. Then and then her house that she, you know,
was renovated.
Yeah. yeah. Yeah, dude. Just all sorts of. Just wild, yeah. just wild stuff. Yeah,
it is wild. It is wild, but great, great stuff. She, yeah. she brought a lot to the table.
Yeah. And, back to, unrelated things. I figured out what, I was thinking of as far as, when I thought of the made up the name, just Gypsy Rose Turner.
Okay.
I was thinking of something completely not Gypsy Rose or Turner. I was thinking of a movie from the Paul Newman movie from late 80s called Blaze Star,
okay.
about a very famous burlesque dancer and stripper.
Oh.
Yes, that was the mistress and well-known mistress of a Louisiana governor.
Okay.
Back in the day, and they made, and she had this big personality and everybody knew about her and all this stuff, and there was a big scandal and all of that. But yeah, her name was Blaze Star. And I guess I just thought that, you know, Gypsy Rose is, at least those, the name Gypsy Rose is kind of generic, and it seems, or not generic, but it seems very, very burlesque.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, it's definitely a stripper, stripper name for sure.
And yeah. You know, I mean, for sure. You know, burlesque, the burlesque arts and the, you know, and dance, exotic dancing.
Yes. Yes.
You know, that's definitely one of those that that would, it seems like there's, I'm sure there's a big clan of Gypsy Roses out there. If you did all, everybody was associated by name, but yeah. So I guess somehow association, that's where my brain took me.
Understandable. Understandable.
So yeah, which, you know, hey, brains are weird. So, anyway, thanks for listening to the What's Your Weird Story podcast. We appreciate Amy coming on, and we appreciate you guys tuning in each and every week. And, you know, we you're probably sick of us saying it, but, you know, we need you to get out there and spread the word and rate and review us, and tell your friends, go buy some t-shirts and merchandise, and
yeah
show us support.
Yeah,
represent, you know, get us out there, help us grow our small town to be a giant city, where everybody still knows your name, because everybody's name is Gypsy Rose. So
that's a town I want to be a part of.
Yeah, right. So anyway, thanks, guys. Tune in next week. We're going to have, next week is, even though it's going to be a little late, it's going to be in honor of our mothers. So we got some stories about our moms, and we're going to try to even get our siblings on here to maybe tell some stories too. So thanks for listening. Be safe.
Be weird.
As always, if you have a weird story, we want to hear it.
If you have a lot of them, we want to hear them all.
We can't do this podcast without your invaluable contributions.
Whether it's sharing your stories,
listening,
rating,
and spreading the word about the podcast. Thanks for listening. Till next time, be safe.
Be weird.
The stories presented on the What's Your Weird Story podcast are, to our knowledge, true experiences that our guests have had. We can't take the time to research all claims made, and besides, it's just not as fun.